you, Bill Farmer. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the solemn hour in which we are here at this time in this little place dedicated to worship thee. We thank you, Lord, it's also a solemn hour for the world. We know we're in the hour of judgment. It will not be long until this world shall dissolve, at least part of it, the area upon which people trod, Lord, because we know there's going to be a day when the righteous shall walk upon the ash of the wicked. We know it's very solemn, Lord, and we pray that we might be worthy to be counted free from the condemnation of this age. We plead, Lord, every ounce of grace that might be extended toward us, and every ounce, Lord, of privilege that might be ours, and of power and authority, whatever it might mean, Lord, that we might be worthy to escape, O God, through thee and thee alone. Now, Lord, we pray that your people shall be greatly blessed. We thank you, Lord, and thank them for the offering which they gave, Lord. We know that your people have been so overly generous that it staggers the mind, wondering why they should be so good to us and so good to your servants. And we do thank you for them, that their heart is full of liberality in their lives, Lord, just show the benefits of God given to them. We thank you, Lord, for the hospitality of this place. We praise you for your pastor. You've said here, though he has striven through difficulties, to be careful to serve you, and he's overcome almost insurmountable problems in trying to be faithful and remain faithful and being absolutely faithful to the word, and yet kind and considerate, loving to the people. Lord, may he be blessed, and may all those who come under his influence be blessed, that he might have a real yield, O Lord, in this place. And may that be the same with every pastor. So many of them come out, Lord, not neglecting their own post of duty, but anxious to have fellowship, to come here and listen to the word. We feel unworthy, Lord, to be chosen to deliver that word, but we're counting on you that you will give the revelation, that you'll give the understanding, and then therefore it will not be of man, even as Paul said, one man sows, one man waters, but God gives the increase, so therefore all things are of God. And Lord, may the people benefit, we pray thereby. All together we may rejoice in thee and grow up into Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we commend ourselves unto you, the word of your grace, the revealed word which you've given us, and may it be spoken, Lord, true to the revelation, and may it be spoken in the true spirit of Jesus Christ. This is what we want of anything else. We'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So happy to be here again this afternoon with you and to study the word of the Lord. I brought a couple messages, and of course, we had the first one on the union of Christ and the bride based upon Brother Branham's message, invisible union of the bride, and then last night on the message, the anointed ones of the end time. And I trust it was a blessing to you, because when Brother Branham taught the anointed ones of the end time, he showed that Matthew 7, verses 15 to about 18, dealt with the evidence of the word being in the lives of the true prophet and the true believer, but that the wolf in sheep clothing and that corrupt tree was the one who had the word corrupted and was giving it to the people, and they were thereby discipling people away from God and unto themselves. And I felt that in going into the subject as fully as I could, that it was beneficial to you to understand how it was that though Brother Branham had spoken on different occasions that Matthew 7 related to fruit, but he changed it under divine inspiration just before he died, showing that it was not fruitage or character, but it was identifying with faith in the word. And of course, this is commensurate and certainly proper with his teaching. He said, analyze it as much as you want. There could not possibly be salvation apart from faith. And faith is a revelation. It's not what we think God said in his word. It's not what we believe God said in his word, but it is a revelation of what he did say in his word. Not a scripture that you and I and different ones attempt our best to interpret in 50 people with 50 interpretations. What did God really mean? He said, a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. And this is simply understood. If you'll take the authority of the man that God vindicated, you could be a mighty seven kinds of a fool, and you wouldn't make one error, because you're not depending on yourself. You're depending on a vindication. So we thank God the whole word is just one beautiful book. And as he told us, he said, if you ever get this message, all you'll ever see in the Bible is this message. And you know that's fine. And that's the way it ought to be if we're married to the Word. And if you really are married to a wonderful wife, that's all you'll ever see. You know, maybe something you need the experience I had. I was telling my son just the other night, and I've told this, I guess, to different ones, but you know, sometimes you're first early married, and you're kind of shaky about it, just really wondering if this is the way it ought to be. And, you know, I got to be frank, my wife knows that. I loved her, and I wanted to marry her, and we were married, and I was sure hoping that this was exactly right. I'd done the right thing, and she'd done the right thing, and although I felt that I really had, and I was kind of worried about it, you know, and wondering. And one night, I had a dream, and I was married to somebody else, and she was married to somebody else. I want to tell you, I was sick. Have you ever felt a guy that went through a nightmare? I did. Well, I suddenly woke up, and I knew it was a dream, and man, you talk about a guy relieved. I never did doubt from that time on. And you know, that's the way it is. If you love this, if you see this message really for what it is, you're married to it, that's all you're going to see. See, Brother Branham said you might be drawn off to look at somebody when you're young and you make a mistake by marrying what you think is some sweet little queen and she's nothing more nor less than, well, she's fine in the realm that you married her, which wasn't the will of God. And he said, that's all you've got. And it's just too bad. But we're married to Christ the Word. And we're not about to be philandering with the creeds and the dogmas of this world that are based upon some carnal interpretation. You can't find the spiritual by attempting to interpret through the carnal. It's got to come by the spiritual. And there's got to be some kind of proof that it is the Spirit that's interpreting. And we have that by a vindicated prophet. I know many people think we harp about it, but you tell me something better to harp about. When our lives are depending upon faith in the revealed Word of God, and we're trying to get there, and we do believe we're going to get there. What greater assurance than to know that God has sent some kind of a sign to prove we're on the right trail? You know, that's worth talking about. I know they say you're following a man. Well, that's all right, so I am following a man. The man Christ Jesus. Absolutely, because, and I know I'm following him because I'm going the way that he told us to go to be sure that we follow him. Certainly, they're all going to bring up all the little cliches, but you show me a man that had thus saith the Lord, and it came to pass. Well, I'm glad we have that. I'm not about to stir from it. I just simply have no other thought but that one blessed thought that I've lived to see what God has vindicated. What people get that, what people hope, we have seen with our eyes, we've handled with our hands, we know it. My, you just can't go beyond that. I tell you, if that doesn't inspire your faith, I don't know what will. If that doesn't wake you up that you're married to the right one, I don't know what will. You just keep looking around, you philander you. You'll find out that you're no Don Juan. You just think you are. You just think you are, yeah. Yeah, sure, I know. Yeah. Well, I don't want to just keep on that being. You know the truth now. And we're going to bring a little message. I'm trying to bring them a little different. Brought two now, and here's the third one. And the third one is almost a complete revision of the faith of Abraham. I preached on the faith of Abraham different times, brought up many facets, but this afternoon I want to bring out a different facet again, and we're going to relate it to the message. I got about 13 pages of hand scrawled notes here, and maybe I'll just read them to you and let you go. But I believe even just reading them will give you an insight of faith and wherein you stand in this hour. And believe me, I want that in the people, because I see so much disillusion round about me. I see so many people that are changed by every wind of doctrine. I see so many things that I think are absolutely horrendous. And things that they think they see in this message that have brought them into disrepute in the eyes of even a decent citizen. I do not believe that this is the way we are taught to go. So we want to stick with the Word, the way it was brought to us in a vindicated manner. And I'm going to read from Romans, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 13. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. The Apostle Paul records two narratives wherein he describes the outworking of the faith of Abraham. And he gives us those accounts in Romans 4, which I have read, and also the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, as you read them, you'll find that these two accounts vastly differ, because one deals in receiving a specific promise, as is outlined in Romans 4, which I read to you, while the other account in Hebrews 11 deals with his life of faith, while he is a stranger on earth, and is journeying towards the kingdom of God, of which he is actually a citizen, though delayed for a time in taking over his true citizenship. Now, at this time, we will deal with Abraham receiving a specific promise from God. Now, we notice, first of all, that a specific promise has been made Abraham in verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world. Abraham has been promised that he will be heir of the world, or actually, he will be the inheritor of the earth. He will be the inheritor. He will inherit the earth. Verse 17 describes how Abraham will inherit the earth. Notice it. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God promises here that he will inherit the earth by multiplying Abraham's own self or his generations of progeny. They will inherit the earth. And he even tells you how it will be done. It will be done through the resurrection. Abraham will inherit the earth, and the inheritance will come by multiplied conception brought back in a resurrection. Now that's what the Bible says. Now, the original heir to the earth was Adam. That's right. Over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 26 and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle over all the earth, every creeping thing that's upon the earth, heir to all of what God had made. Now, notice in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. Notice the heirship was through the multiplied seed of Adam. And replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over every living thing, and so on. Now, this was the original promise of God, and it was given to Adam. Now, of course, we know he forfeited it. And Adam lost his inheritance in Genesis 3:17-19. Now, notice before we read that, however, in verse 27, in there we see the qualification of heirship. See? Or inheritance. Notice what God said. Let us make man in our own image. And when he was to be made in the image, he would be made heir over it all. Now notice, to fulfill verse 28, it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. So there cannot possibly be anybody who inherits the earth outside the image of God. He must be in the image of God. But Adam lost that image. He lost the inheritance, as is found in the 3rd chapter, verses 17-19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The earth was going to take over Adam instead of Adam taking over the earth. He lost his heirship to it. Now, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 3, we have the promise of heirship restored. So we go to Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land which I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Then I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What was the original blessing? In the image of God inheriting the earth. Amen. Now he said, I'm going to do this for you, as I did it to Adam, and he forfeited it. Now notice, as I said, the last part of verse 3, indeed shall all families of the earth be blessed. You show me that today. You cannot do it. That's yet to come. When we are made inheritors of the earth. See? And the inheritance is the multiplied seed. Many men in the earth. Now, notice in Genesis 17, 1 to 7, we find the promise repeated and explained. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Lord, a God, Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant with thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be the father of many nations. Notice the covenant was with Adam. See? But God had to put Adam under another covenant. See? Now, the covenant to Abraham. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. And I'll establish my covenant between me and thee. It was not established with Adam. No, sir. It was circumstantial as long as he abode in it, but this is a guaranteed covenant. Amen. Yes, sir. Don't make any mistake here. There's a big difference. Now, I'll establish it between me and thee. God said, I'm going to do it between me and you. See? Now, and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant. Notice, an everlasting with Adam it wasn't. He said, you eat of that tree and you die. But where do you find it here? See, you can't find it. Now, to be covenant, to be God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, notice, in the 17th chapter, 15 to 19, the implementation of the promise is described. Now we go to 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Notice, Eve was the mother of all living, but this one's the mother of all the resurrected. He was the mother of all the living that died. This is the mother of all that can't die. New Jerusalem's our mother. Here's your Sarah type. The old Hagar over here is a different thing. I just got to stop talking and watch my notes, or I'm going to get carried away in a minute. This is getting too good. I don't like Holy Ghost rambling. It's sure nice, you know, to play around a bit, like, you know, but you people don't get the point, so you got to forgive me if I just sort of sneak a few things in here. It's not right. Now, and Abraham fell, and notice now he takes Abraham, fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah that's 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Don't make any mistake about it. So my covenant's going to be, I'm backing my covenant up. See? And thou shalt call his name Isaac, laughter. You know, it's going to be nice to have laughter. Down here in America, we're the laughing hee-haw nation. Brother Bannon said, we haw-haw and laugh about everything because there's an atomic bomb with our name on it, and we know it, and we're whistling in the graveyard in the dark. Everybody's laughing. Now, you look at my life. If you want to know all about me, the truth is this. I'm always kidding people, and I knife you, and I dig you for one reason. I will not make you get next to me. Don't do it. If my joking is entirely superficial. So is America. But there's a real laughter coming. Yes, sir, when you can sit down. And there'll be no burdens to bear, there'll be no sorrow to share, there'll be no more problems, there'll be no more curse. We'll be down here in the millennium, inheriting the earth according to God's established promise, which He established Himself, there'll be laughter. Yes, see, He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but not anymore. See, in that day that's coming. Now, He said, "Thy his name shall be called Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Now, the implementation is through the chosen son in a chosen way. An identification with one particular that will cause this to come, the kingdom to come to pass. Now, notice in Galatians 3:16, we find this as all a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could type Abraham here and all, but I don't want to do it. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as to one, and to thy seed which is Christ." See? And the multiplied seed must be the one seed which is the membership of the body of Christ. See? The identification being one. Now, it's a type of Christ because no man born of Adam could ever restore the kingdom to man. No man born in the image of man could ever bring about that kingdom. It will take one born in the image of God. Remember, Adam was in the image of God, lost it. It will take another one to be born in the image of God, and the Bible said he was the express image of God. And if he was the express image of God, he was God born in human flesh. See? And he is the one who will bring it to us. And this, of course, is Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, because the woman doesn't have a seed. She is given a seed by divine creation of Almighty God. Now, this preface that I brought to you at this point is simply an explanation of the specific promise. See? Now we must find out how it is to be fulfilled. It is a spiritual thing, really. And yet there is a distinct physical side or a human requirement side in order to get the promise. That's right. It's a promise of God. It's spiritual. It's a wonderful what God has shown us. But there's a physical side to it that we look at when we see how did Abraham come into the promise, which was centered in Isaac the son, who types the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we being identified, the many members shall inherit the kingdom. Now, I want to tell you something right here, and I hope it doesn't stumble you. I understand by studying the Hebrew and the Chaldee that the seed of the woman, though Paul says it's singular, is not singular in the Hebrew, it's plural. Showing you that Christ is many members and not just one, because one day the seed plural, which all had to be in the seed singular, who is the one who restores the whole kingdom, we together shall trample on Satan in the white throne judgment, hallelujah, and shall rule and reign in this earth. Oh, I love the Bible. If people only study it, they would see the multifacets of the glory of Almighty God in His perfect word. And they wouldn't be seeing three gods, they'd see one God, who is not a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost, but He's one Spirit God with the three manifestations. They just don't get into the fruit of it. But they can if they want to. Now, this physical side brought into manifestation is what we're going to deal with. God has actually promised Abraham a son by Sarah. Abraham wants the son, but it is physically impossible to beget him. Only God, therefore, can do it. And God does it. Yet God does it on condition. Well, that sounds strange from what I said a while ago, but it's still true. Still runs in the Scripture. No matter how sovereign God is, there is always a part that man has in it. Now, God will be willing and doing to bring it to pass.
See? But man is still in it. We are not in the grips of antinomianism as though God did something and nobody knows if he can be truly born again. He's got to wait to find out. There is a means that God has laid down. And the proof that we are seed is that we'll go by the means. It's just like some years ago, I was in Brother Don Van Hoosier Church. And Don was telling me of a girl where was going to Bible school where he was. And they laughed at her because she believed in election and predestination. And they said, well, what's the use then of going to the mission field, like you say? She said, because there are sheep. Why go looking where there aren't? See? God predestinating. Many people don't understand it, but it's true. Now, what's this condition? In the book of Romans again, the 4th chapter, and in the 16th verse, we read, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Remember, grace and election always go together. See? Never fail. No, it just can't fail. That's what it is. To the end, read again, therefore it is of grace, that faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to A-double-L the what? C. Not to anybody else. But there's still a means. That's what I said a while ago. Now, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, we are caught right up into this faith. See? From what is said here. Now, if we can see how Abraham received into physical manifestation this tremendous promise of God, we can apply what we learn to ourselves, because this has to do with inheriting the kingdom of God. Now that's it. To begin with, I want us to read a very simple scripture that I feel is terribly misunderstood, or I might say under-revealed. They just haven't taken time to get the revelation of Romans 4 and 3. Now let's look at it. And what sets the scripture? Now that's what counts. What does the Bible say? What did God say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The actual translation is, Abraham believed Jehovah, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It is this verse that the unobserving unknowingly used to annul the meaning of Romans 4:17, but they don't know they're doing it. Now, I'll try to get you to understand what I'm talking about. They appear to be the same. They sound like they're saying the same thing. And in connotation, they are the same. Yet, because people memorize verse 3 instead of going into verse 17, they obscure to themselves the truth that lies in verse 17. That seems to say, and really does, the same thing in verse 3. Now let's examine verse 3. Abraham believed Jehovah. He did not believe God. He did not believe Elohim. Elohim is the strong one bound by an oath. You say they're the same person. Yes, they are. But here's the difference. There's a revelation in here. Jehovah has at least 8 compound titles that identify God with man. He's the Lord our sanctifier, provider, shepherd, peace, redeemer, and so on. Now, not just believing in a sovereign God, a sovereign being, but dealing with a God about whom we have a revelation. Now that's the point. This verse is dealing not with God, the strong one bound by an oath. What does that mean? Bound by what oath? What's he going to do? The word Jehovah reveals God's relationship to man. See? Now, we not only know there is a God, and not only do we ourselves know God, but we know him in a certain way. See? Jehovah is his name, and it is a revelation of him in a certain way. You follow me? Not just God now, but Jehovah, healer, see, redeemer, our peace, our shepherd, see, our righteousness. There's something there that the other doesn't bring you. because the other is not the personal revelation. It stand back and see my majesty. Don't you dare approach. But the other says, come here. But you said, don't come here. He said, you don't understand. I've got a don't come here, and I've got a do come here. Now I'm going to show you my do come here. See? Now, that's necessary. Can you follow the picture? Now, with this in mind, let's go to verse 17. And you'll see why I say that people miss this, because they don't really seek the scripture to put them together. Now, watch. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Abraham believed God. See, before him whom he believed, even God. Now watch. Who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be as which be not as though they were. Now over here, where it says Jehovah, it tells you something about God. It describes God. It gives you a relationship to God. But and in here it does the same thing. It's not just believing God. That's not it. It's believing a certain, what would you say? A certain God. No, believing God in a certain way. Because something about him has been revealed, so you've got to approach him in that manner. And now they tell me that Mr. Johnson went to see the Pope. And he committed 7 major blunders in his presence. So the Pope said, forget it. You're not going to get the Catholic Mobile. Now, this is the same thing we're talking about here. People approaching God. But if you want to come the way of the inheritor, there's a certain way you've got to approach him or you won't make it. Now, King Ahasuerus had to hold a scepter to Esther. In other words, he signified, it's all right, come this way. See? Now, it was a revelation, the pointing of the scepter. She said, I can go and see him, it's all right. Now, that's what this verse tells us. See? It says, inheritor, understand this about me, and come through this door of revelation. And the door of revelation is that it's not Elohim, the strong one bound by an oath. Neither is it Jehovah Jireh with the 8 compound titles, although it's all involved. It's God who raises the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they be. You follow me? I hope you're getting it. If you're not, you're not reading your Bible. Because really, I'm just up there actually waving my arms, yelling and having a good time, telling you what you already know if you read it. See? Well, all right, that might as well tell the truth. It's wrong to lie, either in the Pope or out of it. See, this time it is not Jehovah, but there is a revelation about God that is being missed because people don't even notice it because of Revelation 4, of Romans 4 and 3. All they do is say, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him. Hallelujah. That's not so. And yet it is so. Now, how are we going to get there? By understanding what we're talking about here, see? Now, notice. Here it is. God who raises the dead. See? That's something about God. Telling you something here. Raises the dead. And calls things which be not as though they were. And if we don't understand that, we cannot walk in Abraham's faith, because that's where Abraham walked, in the understanding of the revelation. See? Okay. Now, in Jehovah Jireh, he provides. And in the good shepherd, he takes care of us. As Shalom, he is our peace. But now notice here in verse 17, in the very special designation when it comes to the faith of Abraham. And it says, they who walk in the steps of faith of Abraham, he raises the dead. He calls those things which are not as though they were. And they are the seed who will inherit the kingdom. And nobody else. Oh, all men will have faith, a certain kind. But the elect have this certain kind. See? Now, it is very evident that Abraham had to know that kind of a God in order to exercise his faith to the end. The promise would be what? Sure. Then there cannot be a sure faith outside of this faith. No, that's right. Now, too many times people come up, like the other day in a restaurant, a brother man came by, and he said, "We heard you talking about the Lord, and it's wonderful in the place where they're not smoking and drinking and carrying on, talk about the Lord." Found out that he's a certain kind of a Christian, very nice fellow, but pin him down the word, he's out the window. That's a certain kind of Christian. Now, I'm not judging anybody, but my Bible does the judging, and it says there's a certain kind of a faith in that only that's going to inherit. You got to walk in it. Now, the question arises, what kind of a God is it who raises the dead? What is it? What does it mean? Where is the scripture that explains it? And the scripture that tells you about it is in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and in verses 8 to 10. Now watch. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." See? "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver." Now it tells you right here, the kind of faith that Abraham had was the identical faith that Paul had. See, he describes it perfectly. What is it? It is God who raises the dead. In other words, this great faith of Abraham is that which believes God to the very, very limit. We see a God acting on the faith of a man who is positively dead as far as human ability to get the promise is concerned. And now you see, here was Paul in his condition, Abraham in his condition. Now Paul had been evidently tortured. He was facing absolute death. There was no recourse but death. In fact, they left him for death. But he said, that's the kind of faith the inheritors have. There's no limit. God puts you right to the very wall. Just like Abraham. See, where there was nothing but death. Now, Abraham was dead, seminally speaking. His body absolutely couldn't function. Let's prove it. The book of Romans, the fourth chapter, and verses 18 to 20. "Who," now I'm going to read the literal way. "Who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith." Now the word hope in the Greek is earnest expectation. In other words, when there was no use expecting anymore. He was dead, generally speaking. She was dead. She couldn't ovulate. They couldn't even go into the sex act of procreation. It was impossible. Absolutely impossible to have a child. It couldn't be done. There was no use expecting any longer. There was nothing to expect. But it says by faith he kept on expecting.
Amen.
See? Now, therefore, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was written, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, listen, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, when she was about 20 years younger, I guess. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, which means he did not stagger at the condition. In other words, he did not think them unusual. He didn't. Now, if you look at the Bible here carefully, it says he considered not his own body now dead. That word means to thoroughly perceive. Look into it. Check it all out. Think about it. He never took that step. He simply stayed with the Word of God, and in staying with that Word, no matter how dead he was, and no matter how dead she was, he expected God to do what God had said. Now, here is what man does not like. He does not like or want to be pressed out of measure. He always wants a few resources in his hands to work on. And even Abraham at times made a mistake or two. Now, don't get fussed up because you don't use your faith perfectly all the time.
Right.
Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live. What a terrible thing. Ishmael should have been dead. Look at the trouble he still caused. Never should have been born. See? But people always want to have a few resources left. They don't like to be pressed out of measure. See? They don't want to have a God who backs them up against the wall. See? They don't want to be left, as it were, with nothing but the promise of God. Man does not want a complete abandonment of all the principles that could bring the promise to pass and be left all alone with just the promise. Did you get it? He doesn't want to have all the principles that could bring it to pass abandon him. See? No, he didn't want it. Abraham, long as he was principally alive, he took another young woman who was also alive, but he brought forth a terrible creature. See? He didn't want it. Although the record gives him a beautiful picture, which God will never hold a thing against it. See? But even Abraham didn't want to lay down for a while every single principle. You hear what I said? Just hold that in mind, because something struck me that I just thought the truth it isn't. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. How the churches hate to do that. See? For this end time message. How the people hate to abandon principles which would bring into execution something in God's Word. I hope you're getting it. No wonder the children of the desolate are 1,000,000,000 times more than the children of she which has a husband. See? Now, they go on to abandon every principle that could bring this promise in and stand on the promise alone. They don't want it. Natural man doesn't want it. Even spiritual man has a battle. Now listen to watch carefully. This promised son could not come except by Sarah, right? But don't stop there. Everybody else but us stop there. That's right, I'm not lying. Everybody else but us. And we stop there too, except for William Branham. The promised son could not come except by Sarah, and could not come until after the season of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was revealed in human flesh through a messenger. That's right. Am I right? That's absolutely right. People forget the history of the Bible. Paul said to watch it. And the prophet came on the scene and told us how it was done. But listen, all hope has to be gone. The promise or the third pull cannot come without the screen. That's right. The church will never produce the son. She will never manifest that son until the squeeze come down. Oh, how people fight the believing of this truth. See, but hold on and just relax. You talk about a squeeze and trouble, you know, but nobody wants to relax. Everybody wants to get scared. Scaring won't help you one little bit. You might as well face the music like when somebody calls your hand. Don't try to bluff. Don't try to sing and dance out. Just stand up and be counted. You did it, you're going to get it. See? That's the Bible says, quit you like men. Abraham had a promise. It was a promise that God gave, and Abraham did not ask for it. Now listen, I'm reading my notes so you don't have to go straight here. It was a self-fulfilling promise. Right. Never mind what I said a while ago, it all adds up. You got your part in there. You're getting it now. You're getting the teaching. What's behind it? It was a self-fulfilling promise. He, Abraham, just had to wait until no one but God could do the miracle of bringing that word of promise to life and manifestation. That was his whole battle right there. He didn't have to go and fight devils and kings and everything else. He just had to fight himself and his personal condition. Bringing every thought into captivity to the divine revelation of Almighty God that you by Sarah shall have that son. And there was nothing Abraham could do to implement that except to get rid of everything that could have naturally implemented it and stand fast on the self-fulfilling promise of the word of Almighty God. See? At the right time, when the right conditions came, then the promise of its own accord would come in the vessel. For God said it's not the right time. At this season shall she have a son, not the present season, not the old season, but a certain season. See? Now, it came of its own accord in vessels that were old and dry and completely unable to manifest anything but defeat. Well, Abraham, let's see if we couldn't produce the son. Not possible, can't even do the act. No use. No use. What have you got, Abraham? Not a problem. They lacked every ability. Yeah, they lacked every ability. And they lacked all proof of being those to whom the promised word was given. The old fool, you think you have a son? Hear that? Stupid woman. But the word in season, not out of season, had every potential in it to bring forth the harvest. Just go back and read now. In due season. The word, the former rain has been sown. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 will plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent seed to the prophet and former rain, and thereby fulfilling Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The Spirit of God is already upon that word. Now some folks say the token isn't given, or the Holy Ghost hasn't come. I got news to the prophet that otherwise I don't listen to you. Put that on a tape and send it out. I've heard their tapes.
Glory.
Come on. Now listen carefully. We wait only for the drying season. Brother Branham called Abraham a dry stick. Abraham, are you fully dry out there? Forget about having children. Just start playing checkers. I'm not teasing now. That's what they're doing who don't believe this message or think they believe it and want to bring in some false doctrine. Yet because of some personality, some charisma, that charisma nonsense. When Judas can heal the sick, I'm not interested. Not being sarcastic. I preach this way on purpose, as you well know me, to get the point across. I've taught school too long not to know you make them laugh or you hit them with a club and make them scared that they won't get the point. I'm just teaching, don't worry. Get veil out of your mind. Just listen to what's being said. See? We wait only for the drying season, as the prophet said. Lie in the sun and dry out. Get shook down real good. To see if you're Abraham's seed. To see if you can lay aside every principle of your Sunday school and your gifts and this and that and the other thing and stand there with the word of God while the trees come down. Well, you want 1,500 things to fall back on but the word of God. See, this means death, brother, sister. There's death in the pot if you got your creeds and dogmas, but there's still life in you if you've got the word. It was the life of the promise that brought that child. And if you've got the life of the promise, you don't need to worry about yourself. See? We wait only for the drying season and the squeeze to knock off all the chance. I'm glad I said that. And then the Son, S-O-N, will be manifested in the bride and we go in the rapture. Now, What's the next part of our revelation in dealing with faith? He calleth those things which are not as though they were. What did God say by the prophet? I call you not church nor saints, but bride. Pardon my laughter, but we look no more like brides than nothing. Right. But nobody reads the songs of Solomon. I've said it here before. When she heard his voice, she literally just dripped with love toward that voice. And she ran to meet him, but he wasn't at the door any longer. And she said, where is he? Where is he? And her hair was so quiet, you know. And she looked so beautiful and immaculate. She was like a bride waiting to fall in the arms of her lover and be in the songs of Solomon from the first few chapters. But as she goes looking, the dogs chase her. They try to manhandle her. They rip at her clothes. The briars tear her. But she's heard the voice. She hasn't even seen him. The only revelation she has is his word. For the sheep only hear the voice. Now, suddenly, in the darkest hour, when she's fatigued, when she's battled, when she looks anything but a bride, he stands before her. And she feels so ashamed. And she said, I'm old. She said, don't even look at me. She said, just give me time to thought. He said, you look beautiful, honey. He said, you're glorious. He said, you're beautiful then. You're beautiful without. He said, you're my eternal purpose. You're my masterpiece. But he said, I got to show those folk out there that you're the one I love because they still don't believe it. He said, I call you bride. Have we risen to the occasion? Have we put our faith in the vindicated prophet? Are we bride? Abraham, Sarah, you're the progenitor of the inheritor. You don't look like it. Certainly not. You look pretty messy. But you've got the promise. His face fell. He said, he changed your name from High Father to a father of nations, and you're not a father of anything. And he said, it was nice to meet you. But I don't think that I'll stay here and visit with you any longer. But that's God. When he changed Abram's name to Abraham and called him what he was not, he had to be that because God said it and Abraham believed it. And that's all that he did. And everything else he did failed. Everything he tried. Every manifestation he tried to prove, it did not work out. Now let's go to Romans 5, 4 again, and let's look at these verses in chapter 20. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not, first of all, at himself. He said, if God says I'm Abraham, then I'm Abraham. And if I die, I'm still Abraham. He'll have to raise me up and start me all over again, and we'll have the kids anyway. And he didn't stagger at Sarah. He said, well, it looks like it always was too late for her because she couldn't bear anyway, but it's all right. He said, God can kill her. She'll die, and he'll raise her up too. We'll start all over again. And he didn't stagger at God. He didn't say, well, I don't think it's not being done, so therefore he lied, it's not going to be done. It should have been done by now. What's the matter with him? He said, okay, Lord, if you say that's the way it is, that's the way it is. I'll just wait because that's the way it's going to be. See? Now listen. He waited through all the stress and squeeze. Up to this date, we just got stressed, no squeeze. Holding on to the promise in verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Oh, people don't like that, do they? Listen to me, brother, sister. Don't you know up there in verse 13, he believed God? That's all he did was believe God. But in verse 21, 20 years later, he was fully persuaded. When was that full persuasion? When God came down in human flesh. Veiled. As a human being. Now our full persuasion comes in this day also after 2,000 years, not 20 years, but 20 centuries. The prophet of God stands on the scene, and in full persuasion by vindication, we know that we know that we know.
Amen.
Here is where our faith lies. And what was said by vindication, thus saith Almighty God. Watch in verse 2 and 3 over here in the fourth verse. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, believing that promise, was counted unto him for righteousness. What was it that gave him his righteousness? It was not the blood or the spirit only. It was the word of promise that he believed. There's your token, my brother, my sister. There's your faith. There's your spirit. There it's all right there. There's your token. And Brother Branham said it could not be applied until the evening time, and neither could ours, because, bless God, you could not have this faith, this full assurance, which would have given you by something which would, how can I put this now, wherein your mind would no longer stagger in unbelief. That's it. How can your mind stagger in unbelief when you have a vindicated message? How can you not have full persuasion? You say, Brother Bale, have you got it? The best of my knowledge I have. You say, how do you know? Because one day the disciples went to Jesus when the squeeze was on and they all fell off. And he said, would you leave me also? And they said, no. No, we got no place else to go. Well, you could go back. You know, I'm not going back. Well, you could look for somebody else. You're not going to do that either. God, we're fully persuaded that you've got the word of eternal life. I'm not moving. Could I have said that a few years ago? No. Could you have said it a few years ago? Well, you could have. The creed and the dog would go right ahead and be my guest. I won't join you. Now stay with the vindicated word, full persuasion. After 20 centuries, 1 year typing 100, we have reached the place of full persuasion.
Amen.
Why? Because Revelation 10 and 7 is the full revelation of the gospel is declared by the servants, the prophets of Almighty God. There you are, ready for the word to be manifested, ready for the rapture. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. It's time for us to inherit the earth, because that's what this promise is all about. The book of redemption has been opened because redemption is nigh. And redemption means inheritance, for that which was forfeited in inheritance by Adam has now been completely redeemed.
Amen.
And the book of redemption, what was that? Where did Adam get unredeemed? He got unredeemed through the hybridized perverted word, the same place where the Eve church fell. Now the open book from the hand of him that sat upon the throne, now comes down earth and raises his hand toward heaven and swears by himself, and only God can swear by himself, that election has run out. Because God swore by himself to Abraham when he started it, and now he swears by himself again that he ended it. And he said, it shall not, and you read in Ezekiel, but he said, what I said will come to pass. And the book of the inheritance, redemption, is in his hand. And the full revelation has come. Now who's to stagger? You who look for somebody else, you may look if you choose. I can't stop you. You who want somebody else, it's your privilege. But I'm not looking for anything other than what Brother Branham said. The bride has all she needs to put in the rapture. We are here to inherit the earth. See? Now see this, beloved ones, in verse 12 of chapter 4. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of our father Abraham. Now, Abraham must be our father if we're going to inherit. And if we're going to inherit, we've got to walk in his steps of faith. Now, you've got to see this about God at the closing days of the hour. There's a God who raises the dead. You show me a man outside of William Branham who could say, bring me 20 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. They never took him up on it. 24 cases, rather. They didn't take him up on it. But in Texas, they did. He said, bring me your worst case in the world. I'll guarantee it. They brought a little girl. They tell me a little Mexican girl looked like a dish of cold cooked spaghetti. Put her on his knees to start singing glory. In a couple of hours, she ran down that floor, perfectly whole. Show me a man who has thus said the Lord. Show me a man who raised the many dead. Oh, some men, sort of accident-wise, have raised the dead. Oh, yes, it's been done. But show me a man who had a vision years before, like the boy in Finland, and it said, write it on your Bible. I'm a false prophet. He challenged them. And the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, and showed them, rather, Deuteronomy 18, 13, and showed them that he was Deuteronomy 18, fulfilling Deuteronomy 4 and Acts 3, 19 to 22. Bringing in Matthew 17, 11 and Malachi 4, 5, and 6. See? Raising the dead. Show me the circumstance, he said. I challenge you. Bring your Bibles and stand beside me or get off my back. Show me a man that had the authority. See, God raising the dead. Show me a man that couldn't stand up to anything. A drunken, rather a demoniac, coming to him to destroy him, said, you snake in the grass, I'll pulverize you. And he stood back with the love of Christ and said, Satan, because you challenged the servant of the Most High God, you'll fall across my feet like a weaving serpent. He fell across his feet till they dragged him off. God who raises the dead.
Amen.
Prove that Jesus was Jehovah of the Old Testament.
Amen.
But that's the full revelation of the Word of God, not another gospel, the same gospel.
Amen.
With the same eternal life. See? Now do we follow in his steps? To follow in his steps is to believe what he preached.
Amen.
Those who follow his steps are in verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith. There can be no righteousness of any faith. Cannot be possible. Unless there's a true revelation of a word. Because faith is dependent exclusively upon the word of a man, apart from any substantiating evidence. Read Webster Dictionary. And there was Abraham, and God said, you're going to have a son by Sarah. And there was no evidence. There was only a word. But the word of promise was fulfilled in that dry stick. Listen now. The seal of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of faith. You look around and say, Brother Dale, I'm looking for a sign and a wonder out of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You don't even know your Bible. Why are you preaching? Go ahead and send the tape. I'll challenge any man living to prove me wrong. Not that I'm Brother Branham. But I feel good enough to do it right now. Because I know something I know. The seal of righteousness of faith, my brother, my sister, was that he believed the word of God, proving he had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Not signs and wonders. That's not the evidence. Those two spirits are so close, Brother Branham said, Janus and Jambers would out just as Moses at the end time. They duplicate everything. But I challenge you, stay with the word. The seal of righteousness of faith. Circumcision. The Holy Ghost. There cannot be any evidence of any Holy Ghost outside of faith in the revealed word of the hour, because that's what the Bible says. Man come by and said to a friend of mine, he said, well, Brother Branham never did change the evidence from love to faith to the revealed word. He said, what it was, he said, the people just wouldn't take it, so he gave them something they wanted. Wake up around here.
Amen.
Wake up around here. I know you people. Don't kid me. I've lived here. I've been around Georgia. I've been around the country. I travel Louisiana and the rest of the states. You're not talking to some little kid out in the street. I know what's going on, Barney. Gary, That kind of what goes on. There's the word. I'm not challenging anybody for any fun. I'm no axe to grind. I'm not trying to get a crowd or anything else. I don't want it. If I told you today, I'll tell you again as I told you two times. Don't try to come near me. I'll hit you with a club. Okay? I don't mean it. I mean that with compassion in my heart. I wouldn't betray you for any gold in the world. Come to the word. Come to the word. I got my tears inside most of the time, not outside. I'd sooner keep my love inside and wear it like some shiny badge.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
See? What did the prophet say? I look at Abraham and Sarah, I see a couple dry old sticks pottering down there in a cave. He didn't have anything to rely upon. There wasn't anything that he could have by way of a billiard team, just like that bride I said the other day. Oh, she wants to be a bride.
Yeah.
And she may look like she's beautifully endowed, but God's got to choose her.
Right.
See? Doesn't choose by looks. Samuel one day tried the same thing. Here's a prophet of God, dear, sweet, wonderful man of God. God said, go down and anoint Jesse, son. He said, I'll do that. Hallelujah. Just glad, he said, to get someone in Saul's place. Goes running down there. Mary is all get out. He sees big, all alive, great, big, fine boy. Just here's another Saul kind of guy. He said, oh my, what a handsome, what a prince. He gave the poor young God. Said, hold it, hold it, hold it. God shook his head. Samuel, have you been since a baby? And I've been training since a baby. I don't look on the outside. You know that. Shame on you, Samuel. Well, God treats each other like that. You don't have to slug him every time. Because you wouldn't. No better than that. Well, he said this one. Hold it. Haven't you learned yet? Just walk quietly and I'll let you know. Keep quiet. Down the line. Down the line. Down the line. Nothing there. He's learning now, learning fast. He said, David, or Jesse, is there another one? See, God spoke. He's working very carefully now. And Jesse said, well, we got a little runt down there. See? Oh, he's a nice little kid, but he ain't worth for nothing, you know. You know, he might be all right to walk the dogs if he sort of, you know, grows up. But he's my son, and I love him, but I don't think you want to see him. He said, that's the last he should get me to bring him here. God says, he looks cozy. That's the one. Pour his oil on him. That's the bride, brother, sister. Yes, listen, beloved, we are longing to receive the promise of inheriting the earth. We want to be in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 18 to 23. Listen, I reckon the sufferings of the stress and the squeeze, being Abraham and Sarah, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the unveiling of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity not willingly, by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty, the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to groan. The squeeze is over and everything is just nice. I'm going to have great ministries, see? Oh, listen, brother, sister. The whole creation groans. The veiled new creation and the unveiled old creation is all creation and it's all groaning. Abraham groaning. And Sarah groaning. And Sarah and Abraham, having brought in a wrong child, are groaning a little louder than they would have needed to groan if they'd have just stayed with their promise. And so is this bride. How many of you have wandered a little here and a little wandered there and had to come back a little red in the face? Huh? You got looking at people. Some of you ladies like, oh, I could name names that I wouldn't be mean. I just want to prick your conscience a bit. I'm trying to help you. Get out of that nonsense.
Amen.
Get out of that nonsense. What's that got to do with you? Oh, this church over here. Brother, they've got this. Oh, they're bringing them in by the score, and there's great things going on down there. Oh, go ahead. Just go right back to the denomination. You weren't Abraham in the first place. He never did love Sarah. You got hooked up to Hagar and thought that was great. You've got men right now in this movement that claim they got Hagar, proving what they are. Spiritual things. Now everything types out. Did Brother Banty, everything types out? Didn't he say there's not a thing on earth here but a shadow of something real? Oh, come on. Why is all this nonsense going around about it? It's got to. You don't find Abraham there in some little set down place of an old church and somebody waving beautiful gypsy dancing girls with palm fronds waving around. He's out there fighting battles, getting victory, keeping that promise, going down slow to the grave if God doesn't do something. But he keeps the promise. All creation, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pains now. And not only they notice now, but I try to show it to you, but we ourselves, which have even the actual first fruit experience, which is a baptism with the Holy Ghost that's guaranteed to take us out of that ground, and the seal of our circumcision is what? Identifying our faith with the revealed word of Almighty God vindicated. So, where's the bride? Show me the people that stay with the word. I'll show you, Brad.
Amen.
Oh, she won't look too good. She'll look about as good as Sarah. Oh, tottery grandma. But I got news for you. They believed that word until one day. They woke up next morning, and I can just visualize, and I don't want to seem like I've got a corrupt mind, but Abraham looked over, and he kind of forgot what she looked like when she was younger, and he jumped out of bed and sheared hair. Because you remember Hagar. Suddenly dawned. He said, why, he said, that was my original bride. He said, could it be? Pulled out his beard, it's black. Oh, he knew that wasn't any dye job, brother, sister.
Amen.
That's okay for the present little dye job. You got to have it. I'm looking for the day when my hair turns back. I kid people that say, get a haircut, say, I put a little shoe polish on it. I don't need shoe polish. I got some people thinking I did. I don't need it. Just joke. There's coming a day when that hair is going to go back dark brown where it was, and it's all going to come back, too. When I was just a kid, I was a low brown. My hair was down to here, got way back to there, and some of that went off, too. But you know something? There's nothing in this world that's lost. It's only misplaced. It's not in its right place. Just misplaced. So Abraham looked in the store, maybe a polished glass of some kind. He was young again. Sure. Staying with that word of promise, brother, sister, is going to bring forth the bride in her glory. Now, let's stand on the lesson we've learned. If we're in the faith of Abraham, if we're part of that blessed bride, we're going to have to stand with the revelation of God that's given in this word.
Amen.
Who raises the dead. And that means there's got to be somebody die to get raised.
Amen.
You got to die to your creeds and your dogmas.
Amen.
You got to die to your own thinking.
Amen.
You got to die to your own ideas and understanding of what you think God ought to do.
Right.
And you daren't, even from what the prophet said, try to figure out what the third pull in the bride will actually be, though you even know it. Don't you dare try it. Don't you dare even think about it. You just know that the prophet said, when that squeeze came down and the third pull went into manifestation, he said the bride having the word and knowing what to do with it would have thus said the Lord. And what that is, you don't know, and I don't know, and nobody knows, so leave it be until God brings the interpretation by manifestation.
Amen.
He said, you try to figure it out, it'll destroy you. But you believe it. And that's what Abraham did. He never worked on it. He simply kept his faith on that word, and he said, I don't care what anybody said because God told me otherwise. Brother Branham said when that book came down and we listened to him and believed him, he said we saw our names in the book of life. That was the book of redemption. Now who are you going to believe, the vindicated prophet or yourself, which can't vindicate nothing? Abraham believed the messenger prior to Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother, sister, the world's in a Sodom condition. And the bride might not look like a bride. And a lot of folk might be looking for a new name here and a new name there and this and that over there, and trying to plug in here and trying to pray in there, until Almighty God comes and brings forth His Word. You better steer clear of what you just think might be His Word. Don't you go fooling with Hagar. Trying to use some principle that you and I might be slightly endowed with to bring forth something. Huh? Let's let the Word have its way. Follow in the steps of faith, well, Abraham, who consider not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, nothing left. Pressure on, squeeze, come down. What are you going to do? When hope is all gone, no use looking. Do you realize that can take place in this age here? Not only can take place, I believe will take place. There'll be nothing left but that word. Will you still be able to stand? Years ago, when I used to be wrong in using discernment, Brother Branham said I wasn't, I was. When I believed that I had to pray for the sick and be an all-around 100% whirling dervish type of a preacher to get the crowd and do the this and do the that and keep it up and had nothing unless they did. You know, I cried pitiful tears and prayed and fasted because that thing began to go over me. And I find out everybody doesn't pray for the sick. And I found out if you try to have his discernment, you're nothing but a false prophet. And I thank God it left me. And people now say, Brother Dale, you mean to tell me you're better off and happier just with what you got? I say, I never was so good in my life. He said, Brother Bill, what will happen to squeeze come down? I hope, I don't know, because I can't boast and neither can you. I hope I'll be in the steps of Abraham, who staggers not at the promise of God through unbelief, but giving glory to God, doesn't consider his life, doesn't consider the next fellow's life, but considers only one thing, and that's the promise of God. And when every indication and vindication and everything else is down the drain, there's a word of God that he stands on. And that's all he stands on, and that's his seal. That he's got the Holy Ghost. Now one day he'll come forth in that resurrection, and if he doesn't die, he'll beat it. If he doesn't, faith of Abraham, there it is. God bless you, shall we rise. Gracious eternal Father, we love you this afternoon because we believe you've inspired our heart in such a way, Lord, by the word of Almighty God, based upon what the prophet said infallibly, to give us the understanding of our faith this afternoon. And now, Lord, I know that the enemy can come in as he will come in, and this is the age of the greatest deception, and that we know the original deception was seduction, and he will do his dead level best because he knows that he is dead. In a short while, he's going to be bound. He will do everything he can to seduce us and bring us off of this word. But Lord, we have seen what the inheritors of the land are going to have to be like. Because Abraham, I believe in my heart, Lord, pictures the resurrection, as it were, of the living who are standing here but are dead unless you do something for them. Now, Lord, I believe that rings absolutely true. Because I asked you before I preached that I would not say anything contrary to this indicated word. And I believe that's the way the prophet said it. There's got to be the restoration and the change. Now, Lord God, don't let the devil, I pray, because your spirit was sent to us for this very purpose, that he, the devil, then cannot take one good word of God from us by snatching it or perverting it or covering it. Merciful God, I don't ask that one of us be manifested as over somebody or something. I don't ask that one of us have any sign, ministry, gift, or anything else. But Lord, the one thing I do ask that we do have the sign, the seal of the circumcision, the righteousness of God by faith in the vindicated word today, and then stand here and let a life become commensurate by its faith to walk in the rest of that word. And then, Lord, to have such love for the word, they will love the brethren even unto death itself. Help, Lord. I don't stand here, Lord, and say I've got the kind of love I want. But Lord, when I did ask for another kind of love, you gave the prophet a vision and showed me that that evidence and that love was to shun every error and stick with that word.
Amen.
Not have anything to do with anything else, no matter how good it looked. But Lord, I'm still longing and hungering for a heart that's tender and sweet and a life, Lord, that can stand up with vigor and dignity against any circumstance. And to turn the other cheek or anything else is desired of you, Lord, in the life as I stand as a noble citizen of the kingdom of Almighty God, steadfast in the world until I am here. And this, Lord, I pray for everyone in this building, a noble son of God, a child of Abraham, a servant of the revealed one of the end of the age. Oh, God, we've had a blessed time together. 1973 is about to dawn upon us. We know we may never come together again. But Lord, I pray that somehow these meetings can have set the tenor of the days ahead. A spiritual fellowship deeper and deeper in the Word. Higher and higher in faith. And absolutely more of an indomitable excitement by the wine of the revelation of the revealed Word of Almighty God.
Yes.
Until at Pentecost we stagger under the mighty influence of the Word of the living God. Oh, Christ, we want reality. And we want that which has been proven by the Word of God. Though we love visions and all those things, Lord, like Peter, above every vision, no matter how true, no matter how great, we stand in awe and esteem of a more sure word of prophecy that came as holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote these things, Lord, which are now surely coming to pass upon the earth. Lord, we want to identify all the way. Oh, God, put upon us the full measure of your Spirit, we pray, so that every facet of every ministry that's available to every individual Christian, may he minister to us until the Word can come through us. Oh, God, help, we pray, that thy Word, even thy holy Word here, we've seen to have canonized in 66 books. Lord Jesus, I pray that you write it in our hearts and our minds until we are indeed the living epistles read and known of all men. Help us, Lord. Bless each one, Lord. Don't let there be one weak one among us. One, Lord, that's paralyzed with fear. One that's overcautious. One that's undercautious. Lord God, we just hunger and thirst. It's what we've always looked for, was to somehow have it where we could just sort of step out and you step in. Lord, I know there's something here because there's a deep calling to the deep. So forgive us every iniquity. Forgive us every sin. Cleanse our mind of every double dealing. Our heart of all perversity. Oh God, rebuke every enticing spirit and bind them, Jesus, please. Lest our ears be open to a wrong voice. Our eyes see those things which are sensuous. And our mouth say those things that are blasphemous. And our feet go in a wrong path. Or our hands perform a wrong duty. For we want to be wholly consecrated, Lord, to thee. Father, we're a needy people. Lord, I hope I didn't tell a lie. And I know I didn't upon myself if I'm bright here, because I'd look, Lord, I believe, about the worst mess of anybody that would attempt to qualify. And I'm not attempting to qualify. I'm just hoping I am. Just having faith, Lord, that this little group here, I don't believe could pass any kind of a test for anything if it came to a showdown. But like that bride, Lord, that heard the word and then stood up for it. Came to a place where she looked by the end of the trail worse than nothing at all. But she was the bride. All glorious within and without. Lord, I want that, and so do the people here. Father God, this is the time I believe when all that word comes into manifestation, the perfection of justification, absolute separation through sanctification, a complete word life coming forth, if it's going to come forth at all. Because we don't know what you want done in the realm of that which is beyond us, Lord, but you do. And then, Lord, here we stand as bride. Oh God, we submit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you, brother. Promise.